What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Kalonji, I'm just going to start to call you a fire starter. Verbally, he's a verbal, he's a movement fire starter. Let me be clear. Kalonji will be joining me in the Oakland community, SF community, Richmond community. Shoot, if you're within a couple of hours out of town, you may want to get here tonight at BAM House, located at 1540 Broadway at 6 o'clock p.m. What's happening, my G?
Hey, look who the cat drug in. You know what we do around here. What's happening?
I did drag you in.
I mean, they trying to start something out here.
Hey, listen.
I'm like not back together again in the flesh.
See,
oh my!
Oh, you know the people don't know what I'm gonna try to pop off, but you know.
Oh my! that's why I'm in parts unknown. I'm in the town, but yeah. I'm in parts unknown because it's dangerous out here. As soon as I got off the plane, I saw a couple folks like, "What you doing out here?" I'm like.
Oh, they're like, Lord, here this woman go again. Can she just sit down somewhere?
Like, Cat did it. Anyway.
That's what they say a lot. Cat did it.
I know. I've been knowing you a long time. And I enjoy having you around because it takes the weight off of me.
Fair enough. Well, that's what the next 24 hours is about. I'm like, look over there.
No question.
Five stars there.
Honored to be here.
All right, Kalonji, I want to, so a little bit about sort of how I got politicized real quick as an intro to this. I was a theater major, dance minor. Nothing about my life before explains how I ended up where I am. So, but I hobbled my ankle, I broke my ankle. And so I had to drop all my dance classes. And I was political at the time, but I wasn't politicized, right? You understand the difference. But I ended up taking, Indigenous women's literature, which is where I learned about Rigoberta Menchu and what happened in Guatemala. I ended up taking U.S. policy in Latin America. And really and truly, that was what helped me understand what the United States was doing in America to Black people. That when I read about the violence, the death squads, the tortures, and the resistance, it helped frame that for me for whatever reason. And so I want to talk about Venezuela. It's something you responded to pretty quickly with interviews on your shows. I want you to help folks. We're going to start with helping folks understand the critical importance of us paying attention to what is not new U.S. aggression in Latin and South America, but a renewed violence that has existed actually over a couple of centuries.
Yeah, man,
good morning.
And let's start this off with the coffee. You know, I'm going to say this because of the fact that, you know, I was watching some videos last night and I literally got sick to my stomach. You know, sometimes we say that something makes us sick to our stomach. Mm-hmm. And I literally got sick to my stomach and I had to stop myself from going in the bathroom. And I know it's TMI early in the morning, but you know, I just felt like I just couldn't hold what was in me because I'm so disgusted at the way this world is. What's happening in Venezuela is the same thing that's happening in Iran. It's the same thing that's happening in Gaza. It's the same thing that's happening in Minnesota. And it's the same thing that's happening in the Bay on any given day, right? It's about control. It's about domination. The world, to just put it as plain as possible, the world is a chessboard. And the United States, Israel, France, and a few other culprits are running amok. It's about control. It's about top power. It's about domination. You know, it's more than just the oil. It's about natural resources as a whole. So anywhere on the globe, anywhere on the planet that the U.S. can't control, that Israel can't control or influence, it becomes an enemy. And so we're clear that right now, because of the fact that we are in a situation where where imperialism is collapsing before our eyes, there's a state of desperateness. The one thing that this particular government does, it's clear, it understands when it's in trouble. And it understands that no empire has lasted forever. You know, you had Spain, they had their whole golden age and silver trap, et cetera, from about 1492 to close to 1900, maybe around 1898, something like that. You know what I mean? At the time, they were the superpower. At the time, they were the richest nation on the planet. And it was fueled by mountains of silver. You know what I'm saying? And they had high intellect and, you know, but eventually they collapsed. You know what I mean? And then you had Great Britain. I think there was a saying, and I'm going to jack it up, that the sun never sets on Great Britain or something of that nature. Mm. Because of the fact that they had power all across the globe. So much so that at one point, London was the finance capital. You understand what I'm saying? It was the center of finance. And, you know, because of the fact that they bit off more than they can chew, eventually they fell. You know what I'm saying? Maybe around 1950 or whatever. Then you had the Soviet Union, a superpower, with all these nuclear weapons, et cetera. And, you know, they were doing their thing and they had so much influence and they had so much resources, but the ruble couldn't really stand up in the real world. And so eventually the Soviet Union collapsed. What we're looking at right now here in the United States is a dying imperialism. It is a self-imploding and self-exploding situation right now. You have wars going on outside, and you have a civil war, a soft civil war, on the rise right now. So it's an act of desperateness. And the U.S. is biting off more than it can chew with these 900 and something military bases around the country, around the world, and these 150 so countries these 150 different active military personnel in these different areas and whatnot. They're everywhere. Everywhere there's trouble, you can find them. And at the same time, they're pissing off its own citizens. And so there's an act of desperation. So they have to show their might. They have to run up in Venezuela and snatch Maduro and his wife out and bring them to Manhattan for a trial and accuse them. Accuse them of leading cartels that don't even exist. You know what I'm saying? Right before our eyes. I mean, they straight up said, okay, they're peddling drugs that aren't even manufactured there. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we're watching it. And then the DOJ will turn around a couple of days later and say, oh yeah, that cartel doesn't exist. So why are you holding the man? Oh, he had machine guns. The US has nuclear bombs. They dropped the atomic bomb on Japan 10 days apart, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And decimated over 250,000 people. And you have the audacity to talk about someone has machine guns in their home. This is a sovereign nation. A few weeks ago, before they bum rushed his spot, you're looking at helicopters with soldiers propelling down onto oil tankers, straight pirates. In real time, just hijacking oil tankers. And we're sitting around like, you know, like we don't see it, like our eyes are closed. You know what I mean? It reminds me of James Baldwin's letter to Angela Davis. When he said, if they take you in the morning, they'll be coming for us that night. And I think that's the part that Africans don't understand, because for some reason we think that we're exempt. The only reason, and they've been jacking us up, they've been snatching us up, but the only reason they didn't start with us this time is because it would be too obvious. They already enslaved us. They already kidnapped us. They continue to. That's why you and I are fighting right now. So we're saying we're stuck on this nonsense talking about where were they when this was going on? Where were they? Where was you? I ain't see you.
Thank you.
Cat didn't see you. The listeners didn't see you, but the thing is, it's a cowardice move. It's the sidetracking of the slave. It's let me pretend that these people didn't support us, and I don't know who the hell us is. We might want to get our pronouns right. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't support us, so we're not going to support them. Who are we? You know, so I'm sorry. I know you asked me one question, but it makes my blood boil to be sitting here in 2026 and the world's on fire. And you have people that, as Bunchy Carter from the Black Panther Party would say, he said, if you can't do nothing but spit, then spit. These folks won't even spit on the flame. They'd rather take it to the internet, debate, look deep as we are headed to the gas chambers.
Quite literally. I actually don't believe that that's a metaphor. It may not be actual gas chambers.
Yeah. Well, it's close enough.
Yeah, we are fast tracking to those moments. I want to stay. I had a question. You always do this. I think it's just because we vibes. You answer a lot of questions I have for you in one answer. But I want to tug on this thread of a soft civil war, mm-hmm. right? If we look at what's happening, I'm just going to take Minneapolis because that's what's in everybody's head. It seems to be. It's either is the most aggressive ICE invasion we've seen to date, right? And or independent media has figured out how to get around mainstream media to show us it's actually going down. It was pretty nasty in Chicago, too. They're going door to door. They're invading schools. They're going to places of work. They're running people down. They're yanking people off lawns. People with papers, people without papers, Black folks, Brown folks, White folks. They're just yanking people. We are also seeing resistance. Right. We're seeing neighborhood watches. We're seeing folks confronting ICE. We're seeing whistles. We're seeing businesses lock their doors. With somebody that was sending messages on social media talking about he went in to get a sandwich and he's locked in there so he can get a sandwich and then unlock the door and let him out. Right. It looks to me like a microcosm of the macrocosm that is here. I was going to say that it's coming, but I think it's here, which is that the American government is at war with the American people, at least a subset of the American people that are willing to fight that.
Yeah. You said it, a microcosm of the macrocosm. You know what I'm saying? This is Gaza. You know what I'm saying? This is the Sudan. This is when I talk about a soft civil war, and I hate to even say soft because there's nothing soft about it. It's brewing. It's brewing. And I think that what's taking place at this particular moment in time, they're using the whole Democrat and Republican situation. You know, you got the blue states, the red states, so on and so forth. And so what's happening in Minnesota, the reason why we are suddenly, I don't know if it's the most aggressive, but it's what's caught on camera. I think I would say that the fact that under usual circumstances, normal circumstances, when the police murder someone, the police usually, you know, they try to get a grip, they have their damage control, and they chill out for a little while, at least on the surface. You know what I'm saying? They're still busting heads, but they're careful with how they do it. Now we're looking in Minnesota, and right around the corner from where they murdered Good, where they shot her in cold blood, they're breaking windows and snatching folks out. Slamming them on the ground, beating them down. But the unique situation is the fact that you're seeing white Americans get beaten. You're seeing white Americans get gunned down. So now this caused the question, like, wait a minute, they're not even immigrants. You can tell by the accent. You understand what I'm saying? They're not Black. And so they're beating white folks now. So that is why we're talking about civil war. And then you have these paper tigers, these politicians all they can do is, and these mayors and these governors and these police chiefs, and all they can literally do is get on and do a press conference. They've been reduced to us when folks complain about us marching. All they could do is do a press conference and talk about what ICE can't do. And ICE is doing it right in front of them.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you just real quick because I'm looking at time and I want to talk on another thread.
Okay. Oh, my bad.
No bad.
I forgot we were on the radio. I was talking to you for a second. I was about to zone out.
You're going to talk to me tonight for a long time.
No doubt. Let's go.
So let me, you know me, I got to set it up. So New Year's Eve, ICE murdered a black father, too, named Keith Poor. Celebrate New Year's Eve like we do. I lived in South LA. I know how we do it. This is just a thing. The only people I saw talking about it initially was my sister, Dr. Malina Abdullah, in LA. Then I covered it on my show. Mr. Porter really didn't get any play at all until ICE, a few days later, murdered Renee Good. The fact is, ICE was responsible for 5 deaths in the Latin community prior to that. There were 33 deaths in custody, and it was barely a peep. And to your point, right, there were careless responses from some of our folks talking about this ain't our problem. But I want to have a more nuanced conversation with you about this, because I think, and you may push back on me about this, and that's okay. I think just in terms of sheer numbers, we need white people to win this thing in this country. White Americans, howsoever, seem only to get really, really agitated and activated when it knocks on their door, whether it knocks on their door because they can't get to work because we done flooded the streets for 3 weeks at a time, or it knocks on their door because someone that looks like them has been impacted. And then, you know, as they flood the streets, 2020, flash back to 2020, there were so many white people in the streets, right? They wasn't nowhere else, it seemed. But then, once the benefits of being white in a white supremacist country kick in, that's for the left, right, mid, I don't care who you are, they get unagitated and they go home. This is not a sustainable dynamic for movement or the movement we need to build in this moment. What do we do?
And I agree with you. Yes, it has to. This is bigger than a race issue. You know what I'm saying? It's all hands on deck right now. And indeed, you know, I look at the Keith Porter situation from two different ways. One, I say that is the importance of black and independent media, because of the fact that we keep looking. I heard some people online saying, or I seen some people talking about how no one's talking about this, no one's talking about that. So my response to that is you talk about it. And support those media outlets that will talk about it. And so we don't look to mercenary media to give us our narrative and our story, because that's not what they're supposed to do, right? That's number one. But at this stage in the game, what we have to do is we have to organize, and not in no cliche type way, but we have to do what we've always done. We have to train. We have to get with our air likes, people who we trust, people who are true to it, they got skin in the game, and we have to huddle up. And we have to be careful. We can't move the way we've been moving. This is a whole new dynamic. It's a whole new world right now. Things will never be the same. It's not going to be a protest as usual. And I would say, I would dare to say, because I'm trying to just get it all out at one time, I would say that there's a lot of dangers on the internet right now. All this AI business.
Yes, go there. Come on.
Yeah. All this AI business, folks talking about getting up in people's face, all these fake, I'm going to just go all the way out. All these fake new Black Panthers and all that hopping up, getting in police face. You know what I'm saying? Don't mess around and get yourself hurt following these agent provocateurs. Don't mess around and get yourself jammed up because of the fact that, as the last poets would say, we like to party and bull. You know what I'm saying? There's no time for that. It's too dangerous. It ain't time to play hero right now. You understand what I'm saying? Because these white folks ain't playing with you. You understand what I'm saying? These Proud Boys, these Trumpyites, and we not just blaming Trump. We know that this has been, you know, this goes back to the Gestapo's. You know what I'm saying? And this is what it is. This is a modern Gestapo. They don't need search warrants. Just like the Gestapo's 90 years ago in 1936, they were above the law. That's what's going on with ICE right now. It is above the law. So we got to be clear that in order for us to stay alive, we got to, as my grandmother used to say, use our head for more than a hat rack. Come out tonight. We could talk a little bit more. Cat going to tell you where we at. Don't start nothing. Won't be nothing. You know what I'm saying?
They already started, so it's on.
It's on. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Get to the town tonight, BAM House, 1540 Broadway, 6 o'clock. It is the first in our series, our Stay Ready training series. Because, y'all, we don't have enough organizers. I'm going to get right to you, Donna. We just, listen, y'all. I know a lot of you came to this thing in 2020. I know. And in 2020, a bunch of us was inside because of COVID. So there were no political homes for folks to be funneled into. There wasn't a lot of guidance. There weren't people to wrap you up in their arms and say, here, let me develop you. All you had was Facebook and Twitter and the Instagram and the TikTok. And then you started calling yourself organizers because you were calling events and people were showing up because it was a time of political unrest. It is time for you to actually become organizers for those of you who are still left. It is time for you to get trained up. It is time for you to find a political home. It is time for you to get some older accountability from people that are veterans of this thing. As Kalandi said, these people are not playing with us right now, and this is not the time for games. And for folks who are wondering what he was talking about, there are people that are creating AI videos of people fighting ICE. And somehow in these miraculous moments of encounters, they then get away after they sock an ICE agent in the face. That's going to get people killed. It's not responsible. It's not what we need in this moment. We need strategy and we need tactic. We need organization. We need unity. We need principles. We need accountability. That is what we need in this moment. So come get some edumacation. 1540 BAM House, 1540 Broadway BAM House, 6 o'clock tonight. Aight.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.